Well, how are you all? Doing all right? Ah, I feel the energy. Does anybody else feel energy? Yeah. Well, it's really, really great to be with you today. It's really, really great to be in the city of Chicago, the city of Evanston. I love this area. I just really like this area. We moved into our new house in West Rogers Park. About a month ago now. And you know what's interesting about moving in? You might buy a place or you might rent a place and then you go into the place and it's not really your place until you put all your stuff in it, right? Right? When you don't have your couches or you don't have your beds or you don't have your tables and chairs, it just doesn't really feel like home, does it? And we have a backyard in our place. It's not actually a very big backyard, but it was pretty rough. When we got here, it was sort of like a lot of patches of dry dirt. I think it needed some maintenance too. I think it might have needed some weeding. There was like this nice little dirt patch right next to the big dirt patch that was in the middle of the grass. And so we thought, well, what are we going to do with this thing? And so luckily we had a couple of dear friends come over. They planted some grass. They planted some flowers. They planted a lavender bush because my wife really likes the smell of lavender. You know, in springtime, she sort of feels like it's a herald of good things to come, which is namely warmer, very humid weather. But, you know, it's funny that those little things, they kind of feel like home, don't they? When you plant some new flowers or you plant some new grass, when you fill up the house with your sofas and your beds and your tables and chairs, you feel like you're at home. And it's sort of like a lesson for what it means to be human, doesn't it? You know, we as humans, we're not supposed to be empty. We're not. We're supposed to be filled. And we as humans, we love to take the empty spaces in our souls, the gardens, and we love to put new plantings in. We're made to be filled. Of course, we're made to be filled by God. We're made to be filled by the wind of the Spirit that Steve talked about a couple weeks ago. And if you haven't heard that message, please, please, please go back to the Facebook page or get it on the podcast and listen to it because it's an important word for us today. But we're made to be filled with that wind. Unconsciously, however, don't we fill ourselves with things that are maybe distracting? Don't we fill ourselves with things that can dull our life with God? Don't we do that? That's why we fasted. That's what we fasted for 34 days or so. We fasted because we were trying to clear out space. We were trying to take out the garden of our souls. We were trying to take the garden of our souls and we were trying to tend it, trying to weed it, trying to take out the things that might either distract or dull or destroy the life of God in us. That's what we were trying to do. And now we're done. We're finished with the fast. Isn't that great news? Isn't anybody happy about that? We are done with fasting. So for the over 500 people that ended up fasting with us, you don't have to fast anymore. Is no one happy about this? Yeah. You know what? Let me tell you something. The thing that we did as a church, the over 500 adults that participated in this fast, it needs to be celebrated. It's an incredible achievement. It's something that's wonderful. It's something that's actually very beautiful. And if you didn't participate in the fast because you're new today, well, good news. You don't have to fast anything. You showed up in the perfect time. Everybody else was fasting, and now it's time for the feasting to begin. So welcome if you're new with us, and perfect, impeccable timing, all right? And if you were also here for the fast, but you decided for whatever reason that maybe now was not the right time, that's totally okay. And if you faltered during the fast, as your pastors did here and there, that's okay too. Jesus sees it. He sees all of it. And I think that because this fast was a really, really important thing for our church and important in a lot of ways that I don't think we even know yet, I think that we should celebrate. And the way I think we should do it is I think we should stand up and I think we should give God and us a round of applause. Can we do that? Let's all stand up. Yes, thank you, Jesus, for this fast. Yes, Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, you know, I'm going to pray for a minute because this is wonderful. So thank you, God, for this fast. Thank you, God, for unifying our hearts and our souls in this fast. And thank you for your Spirit, because we do feel the breath of God on our faces and on our souls. So come, Holy Spirit, and let the feasting begin. Amen, amen, yeah. All right, let's all have a seat. You can all sit down. There you go. I've been wanting to do that for so long. Have you all stand up and have you all sit down? All right. It's a day of new things for me too. I'm new, so welcome to me and welcome to you. All right. So what do we do when a fast ends? That's all I want to talk about today. What happens when the fast ends? When you fast, you're like clearing the garden. But when you end a fast, it's like a new beginning. It's time to take the garden of our souls, the neat bed blank earth that our souls are now that we've fasted, and sow some new seeds and plant a few new cuttings. In fact, a lot of you experienced that during the fast. A lot of you experienced some new beginnings, didn't you? We got some emails from you describing what the fast was like. I want to read a couple of them because it's really important. Here are a couple of emails that we received. The most significant thing, I'm gonna edit a little bit. The most significant thing that came out of making more space to hear God was that God began to speak to me about a friendship I had and how maybe I had badly treated this friend. And so out of the fast came a beautiful reconciliation. Another person emailed in and said, as Steve preemptively warned this service audience that we were being called to fast and pray in the coming weeks, the Spirit whispered, coffee. Oh, no. So this person actually drinks probably 2 gallons of this stuff a day. Some days, is what he says, but I think that's an achievement in and of itself. But it wasn't until the Sunday before our fast began, as I outlined it in a small group prayer request, that it dawned on me, my kids are out of school. How will I ever deliver my writing assignment on July 1st without going to Starbucks in the evenings? But something happened, because God led him or this person to write the second 2,500 words of this essay that he had to turn in and then reshape the first 2,500 as he trusted he would in all without coffee. This person thinks it's the strongest essay that they've ever written. And they turned it in to their editor 3 days before their deadline, a feat that this person has never achieved. So good for you. That's amazing. Yes. All right. Another person said, fasting has showed me how deeply I need Jesus. Oh, man, yes. I need Jesus more than I need sweets. Another person said that when they took the prayer guide out, they were so blessed to find that the middle section of the prayer guide that we had as we were praying through was set aside to bless his relationship or her relationship with God, plus personal life and relationships, and they felt grace. They felt grace. Another person sent in a picture. One night while I was up and anxious, I cried out to God and I heard the Holy Spirit say, expect Jesus. So we have experienced Jesus in the midst of the fast. But here's the funny thing. When you end a fast, at least it's been my experience, that when you end the fast, that's when all the good stuff actually starts happening. And so for some of you, the fast was actually pretty difficult. Some of you, the fast was really hard. We received a couple of emails. One of them said, the more I sought the Spirit, the more trials I got in all directions. Well, get ready. Because as this fast ends, here it comes. Here comes even more blessing, I think. All right? Another person said that this fast was a very hard month. In 1 week, there were 2 car accidents, no injuries, that resulted in severe damage to a company car I drive, as well as a total loss to the only car we own. For those of you where the fast was difficult, I want you to get ready. because the feasting is going to begin. All the good stuff that I've experienced as I've fasted usually happens when the fasting ends. And so as we look to ending the fast, I want to say a few things about it. Are you okay with that? Can we do that? All right, good. One of my favorite scholars, a guy named N.T. Wright, says this about fasts ending, particularly the Lenten fast, the fast of Lent, the 40 days before Easter. It's common in churches around the world to fast then, and this is what he says. If the cross or Calvary means putting to death things in your life that need killing off if you are to flourish as a Christian and as a truly human being, then Easter should mean planting, watering, and trading up things in your life that ought to be blossoming, filling the garden with color and perfume, and in due course, bearing fruit. So let's end this fast with filling our garden with color and perfume, shall we? Let's end our fast with some new plantings for our garden. And for that reason, we have some new cards. So I think we have a team of people that can hand out those new cards, if I write on that. Or maybe not, yes, if you have cards and you're going to pass them out, or maybe you got cards. Did anybody get a card as they were coming in? Yes? No? All right, well, we're going to pass out some new cards right now. And they'll just come down your row, I think. And what these new cards are for is these cards are a time when you can actually put something on the card that is a new thing. So as we end the fast, we're going to start some new plantings. And so as these cards come by, don't worry, you don't need them right now. I'll tell you when you need them. I'm going to talk about a couple or a few new plantings that we might be able to embrace as we end our fast. So here are three new plantings for your garden as you end this fast. The first planting is practice the presence of God. Practice the presence of God. I'm going to make a bet that during this fast, you've probably felt nearer to God. How many of you, as you were fasting, felt nearer to God? Yeah, I'm going to bet that that's going to happen. You probably were more aware of him. You probably experienced an increased spiritual vitality. I heard a story about one man who fasted from smoking, and within 2 days, he was hearing from God in a way he has never had before. Well, did you know that Jesus also fasted? Before his ministry began, he fasted for 40 days. He fasted from no food. He fasted from food and water. He didn't fast from no food. He fasted from food and water for 40 days. And after he fasted, there was an explosion of ministry. That's when his ministry began. Well, do you know what the first thing he said was the first recorded thing in Matthew, the first thing that he said after the fast ended was this: the kingdom of heaven is near. That's what he said. When you fast, guess what? You bring heaven near. When you fast, the kingdom of heaven is near. When you fast, the overlap between heaven and earth become really thin. In fact, that's what we call a thin place. You become a thin place when you fast. But goodness gracious, now that we're done fasting, that doesn't mean that has to stop, does it? Why can't we be even nearer in the feasting? Why can't we be, as Easter people, coming off of a Lenten fast, why can't we be filled with new life and new vitality? Well, one of the ways that we can do that is we can continue to practice his presence. And what I mean by practice his presence is just all that I mean by that is it's a simple way of saying in my daily life, what I'm going to do is I'm going to lean into my awareness of God with me. And what I mean by practice is just that it's something that you do often, that you do daily. So you can practice his presence a bunch of different ways. One of the ways that I try to practice his presence is I don't look at my phone the first thing when I wake up. It's on my table. It might wake me up, but I don't look at it first thing. I don't look at Instagram. I don't look at my email. I don't look at my text. I just pause and try to become aware. Maybe that could be a new planting for you. One of the other thing that you might want to do is if you look at your life on your daily life, if you look at rhythms in your life, maybe there are some lulls in your day when you can just steal away and take 3 to 5 minutes and be quiet. And maybe as you take those 3 to 5 minutes, you can practice his presence by praying this prayer: Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Can we all say that together? Come, Holy Spirit. Maybe one of the things that we could do to practice his presence is we can pray, Come, Holy Spirit. And here's the thing. When you pray, come Holy Spirit, you better expect him to come. He might fill you with encouragement. He might fill you with peace. And he might actually ask you to do something. That's one wonderful way to practice his presence. Here's another planting that we could maybe add to our gardens as we end our fast. You can try something new with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus ended his fast, as I was saying, an explosion of activity, of ministry started happening. Here's what happened. Verse 23 of Matthew 4. Jesus went all over Galilee. He taught in the synagogues and spread the good news of the kingdom. He also cured every disease and sickness among the people. The news about Jesus spread throughout Syria. People brought him everyone who was sick, those who suffered from any kind of disease or pain. They also brought epileptics, those who were paralyzed, and people possessed by demons, and he cured them all. Large crowds followed him. They came from everywhere. They came from Galilee, the 10 cities, Jerusalem, Judea, and from across the Jordan River. People brought him everyone who was sick, those who suffered from any kind of disease or pain. They also brought epileptics, those who were paralyzed, and people possessed by demons, and he cured them all. And I guess this is all I'm saying is when you end a fast, you're tending or you're stoking a fire inside of you, and that fire is going to come out. And how did it come out for Jesus? Well, it came out for Jesus in these verses. All of these people got healed. All of these people got healed. When you fast, you bring heaven near, and guess what? Heaven kind of comes out. It's like a fire. Inside fires, as my friend Adam likes to say, always become outside fires. In fact, that's why you call the fire department to come when your house is on fire, and hopefully that isn't happening. But when your house is on fire, you call the fire department to put out the fire, not because your house, to save your house, but it's to save all the other houses around it, right? Because inside fires become outside fires. And so I guess what I'm saying is maybe your new planting is letting the fire come out by trying something new with the Spirit. Some of you are actually hearing God for the first time. Some of you are feeling like you're hearing from God for the first time, and you know how you know it's from God is because it sort of feels like a fire, doesn't it? I remember one time I was praying for this for a friend of mine, and I was given knowledge about my friend's past that I immediately said, no way. No way. It couldn't be true. But then guess what happened? I started sweating. Because this is what happened when you get near a fire, right? It gets hot. Well, I started to get hot. And it started to feel like, if I don't share this thing, I'm going to burn up inside. And so guess what I did? I shared it. And I shared it in a gentle and loving way, encouraging that person. And she fell to pieces. Well, that wouldn't have happened if I didn't try something new. So maybe you're hearing something. And it feels a little bit like fire. Why not try something new? Why not try something new by stepping in, by leaning into the thing you think you might be hearing? Maybe the thing that you're hearing is for a friend to encourage him. Or maybe the thing that you're hearing is like this email. It's time to repair a relationship. Maybe that's the thing that you're hearing. Well, why not try something that you've never tried before to feast on the presence of the Lord? Why not try that? Try something new. That's another planting. Here's the third planting that I want to suggest to us. Tell each other stories. Tell each other stories. One other thing that Jesus did when he first ended his fast was he called his first disciples. Verse 18, Matthew 4, as he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew. They were throwing a net into the sea because they were fishermen. So Jesus said to them, come, follow me. I will teach you how to catch people instead of fish. They immediately left their nets and followed him. As Jesus went on, he saw two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets to go fishing. He called them, and they immediately left the boat and their father and followed Jesus. This is one of the first things that happened after Jesus ended his fast. And why is it important? Well, it's important because many of the things, or all of the things, I guess, that we do in the kingdom should be with other people. The kingdom, the work of God's rule and reign and advancing that and spreading it should never be solitary. You should bring other people along with you. Even Jesus had friends. Even Jesus had friends. I've talked to many of you in my time so far. I'm doing my best to try to remember your names. So if I come up to you and we've had a conversation before and you've told me your name, I just ask, would you please extend me some grace? I'm doing the best I can, but I really love to know your names and I really love to greet you by name, and I'll do my best at that, but it's getting kind of hard. But as I've talked to you, one of the things that I've noticed is that many of you long for friendship. Many of you are hopeful and longing for people that you can be friends with who share your passion for Jesus. Because it's kind of hard to find those people, isn't it? Well, how do you find those people? Maybe your new planting could be to find some friends who share the life of God with you. And how do you find those people? Well, here's one really easy way. You start telling the stories. You start telling the stories. Telling your story? Yes, of course. But also, I'm encouraging you this morning to share the stories about God's work in your life. Tell people the wonders you've seen. Tell them how Jesus has changed your life. The stuff that happens inside of you is supposed to come out. And that also, that's not just the fire, it's also the stories. Is there something that has happened in your life because of Jesus' influence that you haven't shared with anybody yet? If there is something in your life that you've experienced with Jesus and you haven't shared it yet, I just want to encourage you. Maybe this is your new planting, because this stuff shouldn't be a secret. And here's the interesting thing that happens when you start telling the stories. People like to hear them. They love to hear stories about people's lives being changed by God. They love to hear it. They love to hear the stories. People who love to hear the stories love to be around each other. One of my good friends is a guy named Vince, and I started telling him the stories. We used to work together, so we would just sit in our cubicles, and I would tell him story after story of things that I had seen. I remember in a prayer meeting once, we were ending this prayer meeting, and we were praying for this woman, and all of a sudden, her face started to distort and to change. She looked like she was in pain. She looked like she was in obvious discomfort, and we thought, what's going on here? Well, we should pray. We should pray. She's not at peace. Let's pray for peace. Let's pray for whatever is happening to her, whatever oppression that might be happening, to go. Let's pray. Let's break all that stuff. Well, it took forever. It took forever. We kept praying for her. We kept praying for her. And she'd look okay. And then all of a sudden her face would change again and change again, change again, change again. And finally, it was getting really late and I was getting very tired. And I thought, I want to go home and I want to go to sleep. So I opened the Bible and I started taking the first chapter of Ephesians. I started reading it to this person, and I inserted wherever, every place where it said you, I inserted her name, and guess what? Her face changed like that. And everything that had been oppressing her left. And I remember telling my friend Vince this story, and he said, we got to try that. So let's get all my friends together, and let's ask the wind to come. And so he got all of his friends together, and he invited me. And guess what happens when you ask the wind to come? The wind comes. And guess what happened in that room? They experienced God's presence. And guess what also happened? We became lifelong friends. Tell each other the stories of what God has done, and you will find friends that you can walk with for the rest of your life. So congratulations on finishing this fast. Pat yourself on the back. And if you're new here, pat yourself on the back for your exquisite timing. But as we end our fast, could I encourage you to keep going and to start feasting instead? And could I encourage you to plant some new things in the garden of your soul that will bring perfume and life to everyone that you meet and see? So either practice the presence of God, either tell each other the stories, or please try something new with the Spirit. You'll never know what could happen. Steve said a couple weeks ago, the wind is coming. Steve said a couple weeks ago, put up your sails. You might have been wondering, I don't have sails. How am I going to put them up? Well, I'm telling you, this is how you put up the sails. This is how you do it. And so as we close today, I'm going to invite the band to come up. Come on up, band. Great job this morning, band. But come on up. And here's what I like to do. You've got your card. Hopefully. Does everyone have a card? Yeah, so what I'd like you to do is, in the next few moments, we're going to take some quiet space, and I'd like you to prayerfully consider a new planting to put on your card. And even if you do it for another 33 or 34 days, it could make you wake up to the world in a whole new way. So take your card, maybe write a planting down on that card, and this time you're not going to turn it in, you're going to take it home with you. You're going to put it on the refrigerator. You're going to put it in a place that you see it often, maybe in your phone case or whatever, and remind yourself of the new life that God is inviting you into. Because Christian life, can I hear an amen on this? Christian life is not merely subtraction, is it? No. Christian life is addition of the very best kind. So, Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. And give us direction for some new plantings in our life. As we are Easter people, let us live into Easter and resurrection. Yes, let's take a few moments.